It's nice to see each one of you here this morning, and I appreciate your attendance. And our brother Dan announced that we would have dinner precisely at noon, and I will do my best to make sure that that happens. We had a very interesting Sunday school this morning, I thought. And we had a subject that out of the newspaper, and there was a lot of discussion on it, and I heard a lot of different things, and it brought my mind back way long time ago. Carolyn and I were 18 years old when we were going together, and after she proposed to me and I accepted, we went to the minister. It happened to be Brother William Sheldon, and asked if he would marry us, perform the ceremony, and I don't remember. I really don't remember any counseling that Brother Sheldon gave us at that time in my life and that age. It probably wouldn't have made any difference to me anyway. The only thing I knew about this church is that the young lady that I was interested in went there. That was about the way it was. But I did have an incentive. You know, I'm really, in the 42 years that my wife and I have been married, it never really has occurred to me to get divorced. That just is not one of the options. But I had an incentive. When we went to her mother and dad, and told them that we were going to get married. I know all of you know Carol's mother. And she said to me, "You will be good to her." And you will stay married or else. You know, I never did want to find out what that or else was. Never. That Sunday school class that we had this morning kind of brought in some of the things that I want to talk about this morning. Because I've heard in the last few weeks a number of sermons telling us that we must attend church more often, telling us we must obey more of the Word of God, telling us that we must live more of a Christ-like life. And I think that these sermons were given with more intensity, more spirit than I've heard in times past. And I believe that there's a reason for that. And I believe that reason is that we're truly in the last days. We're truly approaching that time when Christ, because of the way that this world is, the sin and the degradation, is going to have to come. It's going to have to take things into His hands. We're fast approaching that time where, if it weren't for a righteous few, the world would have to be destroyed. I'm going to read out of 2 Nephi. On page 152. This is the 12th chapter. "And now, my brethren, I have spoken unto you according as the Spirit hath constrained me. Wherefore I know that they must surely come to pass. And the things shall be written out of the book shall be great worth unto the children of men, and especially unto our seed, which is a remnant of the house of Israel. For it shall come to pass in that day," and this is the day he's talking about, the day that you and I live in, "for it shall come to pass in that day that the churches which are built up and not unto the Lord when the one shall say to the other, Behold, I am the Lord's. And the other shall say, I am the Lord's. And thus shall every one say that hath built up churches, and not unto the Lord. And they shall contend one with another, and their priests shall contend one with another, and they shall teach with their learning, and deny the Holy Ghost which giveth utterance. And they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel, and say unto the people, Hearken unto us, and hear ye our precepts. And we're hearing that today. We're being taught in the world of the world, and not of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. For behold, there is no God today, for the Lord and the Redeemer hath done his work, and he hath given his power unto men. I'm not sure that I hear the churches of the day saying that, but all of the actions that they do tell me that. Yea, and there shall be many which shall say, Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us. And there shall be many which say, Eat, drink, and be merry, nevertheless fear God. He will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little, take advantage of one because of his words, dig a pit for thy neighbor, there is no harm in this. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. And that, brothers and sisters, is sounding a lot like us. You don't fear God, but let sin be among us. Fear God. But do those things that we know are contrary to the law of God. Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner, false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsels from the Lord, and their work shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Is some of these words that I've read here this morning describing us today? Is some of these things describing we who are members of Christ's kingdom? Are there things in the world today that point to the fact that we are in the last days? There are many, many things that point to that to us. There's an I don't care attitude. I was just looking in the news yesterday, and they were telling about a house over here in Leawood that was trashed by a bunch of youth. Having a kegger party, so to speak. And do you think that those who trashed that cared? One of the statements was, Boy, I sure hope this doesn't affect my trip to Cancun for spring break. Were they worried about the damage they had done? Were they worried about the consequences? They were worried about their trip to Cancun. An I don't care attitude. And it's not only with the youth, it's with us. We portray to everyone each day that we don't really care. We profess to be followers of Jesus Christ and yet go our merry way and do those things that are contrary to His law. Every day. What message are we, the members of Christ's church, sending to the world? Are we sending the message that would draw people to us? Or are we sending a message that says, I don't care? These same conditions are found in the Book of Mormon many, many times. And I'd like to read some of them just to show us that they've progressively gotten worse. And I'm going to read what happened in 430 B.C. And this is in Jerem on page 197. Starting with the first verse. Now behold, I, Jerem, write a few words according to the commandments of my father Enos, that our genealogy may be kept. And as these plates are small, and as these things are written for the intent of the benefit of our brethren, and that benefit that these things are written for is for you and I who have these records today. The Lamanites, wherefore it must needs be that I write a little, but I shall not write the things of my prophesying nor my revelations. For what could I write more than my fathers have written? For have they not revealed the plan of salvation? I say unto you, yea, and this sufficeth me. Behold, it is expedient that much should be done among this people because of the hardness of their hearts and the deafness of their ears, and the blindness of their minds, and the stiffness of their necks. Nevertheless, God is exceeding merciful unto them, and has not yet swept them off from the face of the land. And we have that very same thing today. We have stiff necks, we have hardness of heart, and we have deafness of ears. And only the mercy of God has kept us from being swept off the face of the earth. And as many as are not stiff-necked and have faith, have communion with the Holy Spirit, which maketh manifest unto the children of men according to their faith. Also, in 83 B.C., in Alma, on page 319, starting with the 86th verse. Now I'm going to go on down to 92. And now, my beloved brothers, I say unto you, can ye withstand these things? Can ye lay aside these things and trample the Holy One of Israel under your feet? And we today, who know God's law, who have been taught from behind this pulpit, who have been taught from their youth up the things of God in their homes, can we yet turn our way and trample the Holy One under our feet? Yea, can ye be puffed up in the pride of your hearts? Yea, will ye still persist in the wearing of costly apparel and setting your hearts on the vain things of the world upon your riches? Yea, will ye persist in supposing that ye are better one than another? Yea, will ye persist in the persecutions of your brethren who humble themselves and do walk after the holy order of God, wherewith they have been brought into this church, having been sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and they do bring forth work which are meet for repentance? That's what we need to do, brothers and sisters. We need to bring forth works meet for the repentance of those things that we do daily that are contrary to God's law. Yea, and will you persist in turning your backs upon the poor and the needy and withholding your substance from them? And finally, all ye that persist in your wickedness, I say unto you that these are they that will be hewn down and cast into the fire, except they speedily repent. That was in 83 B.C. The Bible and the Book of Mormon are with us today. You know, these things that we read in the Bible and the Book of Mormon are examples to you and I today. And we see that those things that we see in the world today were back then too. And God was telling them that if they didn't repent, if they didn't change, if they didn't come around to His way of thinking, then they were going to be hewn down. They're going to be cast off. They were going to be rejected. These things that we read about here are stronger today in the world than ever before. Each day they get stronger. Each day it's more wicked. Each day we hear more and more about people that are rejecting the things of God. How much longer will God put up with us? How much longer will He wink at us? How much longer will He say, "My mercy is sufficient"? How much longer? And I believe this is why that I hear for the last few months a stronger effort, more powerful sermons, more ministers telling us the way that we need to live our lives to be acceptable unto Christ, telling us the things that we need to get rid of, the things we need to put behind us, and especially the things that you and I need to do to qualify for God's kingdom. Just because we're baptized, just because we've had hands laid upon our heads, just because we're sitting here this morning in this church building, does that of itself qualify us for God's kingdom? If you tell me yes, then I have to say to you, study your scriptures. Study your scriptures. Find out that there's more. Find out that you have to live that Christ-like life. You have to do and say and talk and walk as Christ. Then if we do all those things, then the mercy of God would give us eternal life. 1 John chapter 2 says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And we, by becoming members of this church of Christ, or even we who are here this morning, just because we believe that God is, we're saying that. You know, we're saying, "I know God. I'm here, aren't I? You know, I'm taking up space, aren't I?" But if we are not obeying His commandments, if we're not doing the things that He told us, if we're not obeying, then we are a liar and the truth is not in us. We really don't know Him. Do we really know Christ? Do we know who He is? Have we truly taken the time to get to know Him? To get to know what He'd done for you and I. To get to appreciate Him dying on the cross for salvation for us. Truly appreciate His majesty and His power, His might. Have we taken the time to study? The Book of Mormon says, and it's one of my favorite sayings, "Believe in God." You know, what a simple, mighty statement, believe in God. And there's much more that goes with it than just the words say. It's not only up here that you believe in God, it's here. It's in our actions, in our deeds that we prove that belief that we profess in Jesus Christ. Believe in God. Believe that He is. You know, when you believe that he is, that tells us that he does things for us. He's active in our life. We can go to him as we did this morning in prayer and administration and expect him to answer. Expect him to become part of our lives, and when we have problems and trials and tribulations, that he's there and he cares about us. Believe that he created all things. And all we have to do is look around us and see the majesty of this earth. To know that he did create. There's more than man here. There's creation. Believe that he has all wisdom. You know, sometimes we think that when we pray to God and he answers and it's not exactly the way we thought it should be, we're disappointed. But God is wise. A few weeks ago, last part of January, I had to make a trip to Canada for business. And I was to leave on Sunday afternoon, and I got up Sunday morning, and boy, was I sick. I mean, I was sick. And my wife said, well, you know, why don't you just cancel the trip, stay home, but that's not in my nature. And so I prayed and I laid down and I went promptly asleep, you know, and finally, just very shortly before the time I should be leaving, I rolled out of bed and got my clothes on and I told Carolyn, take me to the airport, I'm going to go. And my prayer to God had been, and you have to watch what you pray for. You know, you're liable to get it. My prayer to God had been, God, you know how I am. And you know how embarrassed I'm going to be when I'm sick on that airplane. Because I've taken this same flight a number of times to Canada, and it's always jam-packed. Well, I got up to the airport, and I felt pretty good. And I got on the airplane and away we went. And I promptly got very, very sick. And I started throwing up. But let me tell you how God answered my prayer. There wasn't a handful of people on that plane. And I was probably six rows from anybody, and all that row was just me. So I could just throw up all I wanted to. Nobody knew what was going on, and I wasn't embarrassed. Did God answer my prayer? He certainly did. He certainly did. He answered it in his wisdom. Not the way I thought he would answer it. You know, I thought, boy, I'm going to be all right. But he did answer my prayer. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things that the Lord can comprehend. Believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them. Do we believe that? Do we repent of those sins that we do daily? Not only repent, but put them behind us. You know, don't do them anymore. Don't let that sin reign in your body anymore. You know, that's the secret. It's not getting down on your knees and saying, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. That's only part of it. The trying, the telling part is putting that sin behind you and not doing it anymore. And ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. Then he goes on and says one last thing. He says, if you believe all these things, If you believe all these things that's been stated in the verses previous, see that you do them. See that you do them. A commandment of Jesus Christ. See that you believe in God. I'm going to turn over to 1 John, the second chapter. And read two verses, 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And that's where we're tied up today. We're tied up today because we as a people, generally, love the world. You know, I'm not especially talking about the Church of Christ. I'm talking about people in general. They love the world. They love the things that are out there, the things that give them pleasure, the things that give them joy for an instant. But he says here, love not the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And what do we want? We want the things of the Father. We want the things of righteousness. We want to put behind us those things of the world. Jesus told the people of Nephi when he appeared to them that there should be no disputations among them. For he who has the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil. Instead of this, we should see how Christ talks. And I'm going to turn to the Book of Mormon now on page 635. Starting with the 49th verse, it says, yea, blessed are they who shall believe in your words and come down in the depths of humility and be baptized, for they shall be visited with fire and with the Holy Ghost and shall receive a remission of your sins. This is what we need to be talking to about to the world. To repent of their sins and come into baptism and be baptized into Christ's kingdom. Yea, blessed are the poor in spirit who come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again, blessed are all they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are all they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are all the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are all the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are all they who are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For ye shall have great joy and be exceeding glad, for great shall be your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. We have the system in this church to escape. We have the system set up. In 1830, this church was organized according to law. And at that time, they set up this church according to that which we know will work, according to that which God requested them to do. Turn with me to Ephesians. The fourth chapter, starting with the 11th verse. And he gave some apostles. Do we have some apostles? Yeah, we do. And he gave some prophets. Do we have prophets within this church? I believe we do. Some evangelists. Do we have evangelists? Of course we do. Some pastors, some teachers. And why do we have these in the church? It tells us in the next verse. For the perfecting of the saints. This is why that we've heard lately the strong sermons. This is why we've been told to change. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We have that system set up, but you and I must avail ourselves of that system. In the 5th chapter of Matthew, it is written, ye are therefore commanded to be perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. Can we become perfect? You know, I don't know. I really don't know if I can become a perfect man, but I do know that I can strive daily to attain that goal of perfection. That each day I can do something better and better. That I can become a better Christian. That I can become more attentive to the Word of Christ. That I can obey a little stronger. That I can talk Christ a little stronger. That I can represent Him better day by day by day. Thus coming closer and closer to that perfection, that perfect man that's talked about here in Matthew. Each one of us can do that. We can only get better through practice. Second Peter. The first chapter. Starting with third verse. According to His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And don't we have a lot of precious and great promises? You know, the greatest promise that you and I have, that if we so live our lives in that Christ-like manner, that we can live with God forever? Isn't that a precious promise that each one of us has the ability to get? He also tells us that if we believe in Him, if we do the things He says, He will be mindful of our needs. Great promises. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, is that an important thing to you and I? That we be able to escape the world? The sins that are in the world, the lusts that are in the world, the corruptions that are in the world? We're told here that if we do those things that He says, we can escape the corruption of the world. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. And for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are these things in us today? Are these things within our lives today that would cause us that we should come closer to our Heavenly Father? By having brotherly kindness, by having faith, by having knowledge, by having virtue, by having patience and temperance, are all these things that's talked about here within our lives? And if they are not, then we need to put them there. We need to take the steps to put these things into our lives that we may be able to live eternally with our Heavenly Father. I'm going to turn over to Romans and read a few verses in Romans, the 12th chapter. Verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable that we do those things. It's just reasonable that we are holy, that we do the things that make us holy, righteous, Christ-like. And be not conformed to this world, for this world is going down. This world's going to be done away. And if we're not careful, if we don't take the steps today, we could go down with that world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And to know that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, we need to study these scriptures. We need to know what's in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. We need to know what God has said to His people in these latter days. We need to find these things out so we know what that good and acceptable will of God is concerning you and I, concerning our relationship with God and our relationship with the world. We'll move on down to number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. You know, we need to love each other. We need to have that Christ-like love in our hearts for each other. Letting nothing come between us. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Spend our time, our every waking hour, serving. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And in the last verse, the 21st verse, it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And there's many, many evils in the world today that want to drag us down. Brother Dan, I'm going to make it. To drag us down, to pull us away from Christ's gospel. I have a poem by Helen Steiner Rice that I want to close with. And I think it kind of gives a feeling, kind of gives a message. It's entitled Live by Faith and Not by Feeling. When everything is pleasant and bright, and the things we do turn out just right, we feel without question that God is real. For when we are happy, how good we feel. But when the tide turns and gone is the song, and misfortune comes and our plans go wrong, doubt creeps in and we start to wonder, and our thoughts about God are torn asunder. For we feel deserted in time of deep stress without God's presence to assure us and bless. And it is then when our senses are reeling, we realize clearly it's faith and not feeling. For it takes great faith to patiently wait, believing God comes not too soon nor too late. Thank you very much.
First thing I've got to do here is apologize to Janice and Margaret and Grace. Trouble with focus and snap decisions is you don't plan things out, and I left some ladies stranded. Thank you, Frank. I do apologize for that. We're going to use hymn number 403 for closing. Wait a minute. But first, we're going to have some announcements. And I want to tell you about a couple people we need to pray for, and we are going to take up the collection. Don't get ahead of me. Shall we take up that collection, please?